This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want you to do something. I want you to take your copy of God's Word, and I want you to stand. We're going to take our copy, whether that's an iPad, iPhone, physical Bible, whatever. If you don't have any of that, folks, we have scriptures, and they're on the screens, and you can look. Listen. You should never come to church. You should never go to church for what a preacher's got to say. You never go to church for what he's got to say, because I've known a bunch of them all through the years, and we don't have that much to say. But you go to church for what God's got to say. It's what God's Word says, folks. So make sure you always back something up with the Word of God. Is this what God's Word teaches? Bible says this. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Make sure that word's being rightly divided. Okay, look what the Bible says. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, I remember my mind. I can't read that scripture. I'm ADD, but I can't read that scripture without my mind going to one day I was teaching the small boys and girls in our school. And I said to those small boys and girls, do you know why Jesus was born in Bethlehem? And one little girl raised her hand. She said, Preacher Benny. I said, yes, baby. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? She said, because that's where his mother was. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Isn't it interesting, folks? First question in the Old Testament, after man sinned, God says, where art thou? Now, God knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to know where Adam was. Where art thou? And then the first question in the New Testament, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Where art thou? Man was lost. But where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Not only was he troubled, but all Jerusalem was troubled with him. I want to talk to you about the Grinch who stole Christmas. How many of you remember this song?
Mr. Grinch.
I sensed the presence of God in that, didn't you? One of the best loved Christmas stories of all time was penned in 1957 by a man who was actually never a doctor, but he called himself a doctor, Dr. Seuss Geisel. Never was a doctor, but he penned this classic. I remember as a boy reading Green Eggs and a Ham. He penned that too. I remember reading The Cat in the Hat. He penned that too. But his famous Christmas story was The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And then, in the year 2000, something happened. There was a remake of this movie, and The Grinch was portrayed by a man by the name of Jim Carrey. I researched and I found something interesting, folks. I found out that they spent $100 million on makeup alone. $100 million on makeup alone. It's amazing. But this movie that did tremendously well. Now, here's what I know. I want to lay a foundation to preach. I know there's no such thing as Whoville. I know there's no such thing as Who's. I know there's no people like the Who's that had disfigured faces and 12 toes. I know there's no such thing as a Grinch, but I do believe this. I believe there are people who behave like a Grinch. I believe there are people who act like a Grinch. Now, I know you're not one of them, but guess what? There may be some Grinches seated all around you right now. Amen? There may be Grinches all around you. I know you're not one, but perhaps there are Grinches all around you even right now. Now, I began to think about the Grinch, and I thought, there is a man in the Christmas story that parallels the Grinch. And his name is Herod. Because you know what Herod tried to do? Herod tried to steal Christmas. Herod tried to destroy Christmas. Herod tried to do away with Christmas. And that's exactly, ladies and gentlemen, what the Grinch did. You said, Pastor, I am not a Grinch. And thank God you're not. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to describe some qualities that a Grinch has. And I bet is a figure of speech. I bet somebody will come to your mind when I'm describing these qualities. Let me tell you four things about the Grinch. First of all, a Grinch always lives in the past. A Grinch always lives in the past. Now, King Herod was king. The Roman Senate made him king at age 36. And Herod served for 32 years as king. He was the most paranoid guy you've ever met. I mean, it's not an exaggeration, folks. If Herod had gone to a football game, every time that team huddled up, he would have thought they were talking about him. He was the most paranoid guy you've ever seen. He thought three of his sons were trying to overtake his throne, so he had them killed. He thought his wives were trying to overtake his throne, because of that, he had them killed. And in light of all that, when the time came that these wise men, by the way, there wasn't three wise men. They brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But I want you to know something. Three wise men would not have troubled all Jerusalem. Three wise men would have not have troubled all Jerusalem. I don't know how many wise men, but I believe there could have been as many as 100 wise men. But they brought wise men. The wise men brought the gifts. And they said these words, "Where is he that is born the King of the Jews?" You know what Herod did? He resorted to what he had done in the past. He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all the baby boys. I'm going to take all the baby boys that are 2 years old and under, and I'm going to make sure they're killed." It's been estimated there would have been somewhere between 10 and 30. I'm going to have them all killed. And that way, I'll know unequivocally that this king has been killed. I'll know that this king no longer exists. What did he do? He resorted to his past. Now, you remember the story of the Grinch? The Grinch didn't like those people down in Whoville. The Grinch didn't like the Whos. He just didn't like those people. He didn't like them a little bit. But if you remember the story, you know why the Grinch didn't like them. Because when the Grinch was a little boy, when the Grinch was a little boy and the Grinch was going to school, it must have been like it is now. Kids made fun of other kids. They shouldn't do that, and that's wrong. We should never do that. But kids made fun of other kids, and they made fun of the Grinch, and the Grinch wasn't a bad-looking guy. And they made fun of the Grinch. And you know, the Grinch never got over it. He never got over the hurt that he experienced. And throughout his life, he was up there on that mountain in that cave. And he sucked and he sucked and he was bitter because he'd been hurt deeply. You know, I read that four out of every five people have someone in their lives that they need to forgive. Four out of every five. Just about every person has somebody that they need to forgive. One husband said, "Every time my wife and I have words, she gets historical." And his friend said, "No, You mean she gets hysterical? He said, no, she gets historical. She keeps bringing up the past. Somebody said, to live above with those we love, that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, that's a different story. You know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is to give up the right to hurt you for hurting me. Forgiveness is to give up the right to hurt you for hurting me. Let me tell you something. The God we serve is a forgiving God. The greatest attribute I know about God is God forgives. He didn't come to rub our sins in. He came to rub them out. And no matter what people have done, God's willing to forgive people. And I want you to know, no matter what you've done today, God's willing to forgive you. God's willing to forgive people. And I think the antithesis of God is when we don't forgive other people. The antithesis of God is when we're not forgiving to other people. Because God wants us to forgive people. And if we keep bringing it up, that's not biblical. You know, Georgia was discovered by General James Oglethorpe. He actually came over here from England. And General Oglethorpe, when he came over with a preacher named John Wesley. And General Oglethorpe said on one occasion to John Wesley, "Wesley, I never forgive and I never forget. I never forgive and I never forget." And I love what John Wesley said to him. He said, "General, I hope you never sin. I hope you never sin." Why would John Wesley say that? Look what the Bible says. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I want to tell you, folks, there's so much bad in the best of us, and there's so much good in the worst of us, it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. And every one of us need forgiveness, folks. So why would we bring up other people's past? Why would we keep throwing it up? Why would we keep doing that? Because we need forgiveness, and if we're continually throwing it up, it's a good indicator that we hadn't let it go, and that's good preaching on a Sunday morning. I'll tell you what a Grinch does. A Grinch lives in the past. I'll tell you the second thing about a Grinch. A Grinch pretends to be something they are not. A Grinch pretends to be something they are not. A little girl was in Iraq and she called her mom and said, "Mom, can you send my makeup and my mascara and everything over here, just lipstick, just as quickly as possible?" She said, "Sure, honey." She said, "Because mom over here, they have no idea what I really look like." You know, remember what the Grinch said? The Grinch said, "I don't like those people down in Whoville. And those people down in Whoville don't like me." But he said, "I tell you what, there's somebody that the people down in Whoville like. They like Santa Claus." And he said, "Max, you're going to be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer." And he put a horn on old Max. And he put a nose on Max. And he became Santa Claus. But folks, that wasn't Rudolph. That wasn't Santa. That was the Grinch. And the Grinch was pretending to be something he wasn't. Folks, the most miserable people on earth is not the believer that knows Christ. It's not the unbeliever. The most miserable person on earth is the make-believer. The person that role plays and don't know which role to play. See, the world's too churchy and the church is too worldly. And we forget which role to play. And we're trying to straddle a fence and we're miserable. The only way, folks, Christianity works is to sail totally out for God. Totally out for God. Lord of all or not Lord at all. Now, Herod was a pretender. You said, "Pastor, how do you know he's a pretender?" Well, look what the Bible says. Then Herod, when he'd privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, "What time this star appear?" And he said, and he sent them to Bethlehem. Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again. When you found him, let me know, because I want to come and worship him. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. What was it? He was a pretender, folks. And a Grinch is a person who pretends to be something they're not. Two men were scoundrels. They were just money hungry. They were bloodthirsty. They were cold-blooded. They were just scoundrels. They were brothers. But one of them died. Let me tell you something. That's the thing about it, folks. We're all going to die. They released some new stats this week concerning death. Here's the new stats. One out of every one dies. And his brother went to the pastor and he said, Pastor, I understand the church needs money. He said, well, probably. He said, well, Pastor, my brother's died and you know him. He said, yes, I know him. He said, would you get up in the pulpit and say he was a saint? If you'll do that, I've got a check for $10,000. The pastor said, I think I can do it. The funeral came. The man was lying corpse right in front of the pastor. The pastor said, this man was vile. This man was crooked. This man was a womanizer. This man was a retrobate. This man was a manipulator. But he said, I want to hasten to say, he was a saint compared to his brother. A Grinch lives in the past. A Grinch pretends to be something they're not. But let me tell you something else about this old Grinch. A Grinch is jealous of others' success. A Grinch is jealous of others' success. I wish we could all be like Jeff Foxworthy. This is what Jeff Foxworthy said. He said, I've never been jealous. Not even when my dad finished fifth grade a year before I did. Here's what's interesting, folks. That old Grinch stands up there on that mountain and he looks down in Whoville. And they're singing and they're having a good time. They're happy. They've got presents. They're happy. They're singing. They're gayful. But he can't be happy. He can't be happy for them. Because he can't rejoice in the happiness and goodness and the accomplishments of somebody else. He's very jealous of them. Folks, I've been preaching since I was 17. I've dealt with a lot of church people in all these years. I used to think if people got saved, they'd have a great attitude. But I found out that's not true. Some of the most negative people in the world go to church every Sunday. There's people inside the church that are so negative, if they walked into a dark room, they'd develop. Amen? But I also know many times the church, we weep pretty well together, but we don't rejoice well together. Sometimes we have a hard time being happy for other people. We have a hard time being happy. Well, if I have to lose weight the way she lost weight, I won't lose weight. If I have to get a house the way they got a house, I won't get a house. I know he was recognized, but I think he cheated. Many times we have a hard time just being happy for other people. Let me tell you, I remember one time we had a ball game at Rock Springs Christian Academy. And our volleyball team lost. And I'm seated there beside Barbara. And a little girl on our volleyball team, as soon as the game was over, she hit the locker room. And I looked at her mom. And her mom said, oh, she just gets so torn up when she loses. Folks, love's blind, but the neighbors are not. I said, I'll tell you what she ought to do. She ought to come out of that locker room. And she ought to congratulate that other team. Because you don't know how to win till you first learn how to lose. No. You've got to, hey, folks, listen, this is elementary. I'm giving you elementary stuff. But let me tell you something. You'll go far in life if you can learn to be happy for other people. You'll go far in life when you can learn when somebody else perhaps is promoted and maybe you're demoted. You'll go far in life when you learn to celebrate the success of other people. Now, Herod was a Grinch. Herod couldn't do it. He couldn't celebrate anybody. But what the Bible says. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Look, Those wise guys, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, here's what's amazing, folks. If you go to Israel, Jerusalem's here. Bethlehem's here. It's only 6 miles. It's only 6 miles. Herod, I mean, get real, he had a Lexus. You say, well, the Bible don't say he did. Don't say he didn't, smart aleck. He had a Lexus. But he didn't go because he couldn't rejoice over somebody else. He couldn't be happy for somebody else. See, folks, it's throughout the Bible. It's throughout the Bible. It'd be so wonderful, folks. It'd be so wonderful if we could learn to be happy for other people. If we could learn to be happy for other people. See, there was a guy in the Bible named David that God used in a great way. And he had feet of clay. There was good and bad about this guy, David. But he had a brother. We've all got a brother. He had a brother, Eliab, that was very jealous of David. Very jealous of David. You said, Pastor, I don't know if I've got any jealousy in my heart. Well, right quickly, I want us to look at three qualities in Eliab and see if they're in your heart. You might be jealous of somebody if you question their motives. Look what the Bible says. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He said, you're just down here because you're nosy. What was he doing? Question his motives. See, folks, we might question somebody's head, but we shouldn't question people's heart. We might question how they do something, but we shouldn't question why they do something. We might question the method, but we shouldn't question the motive. And a good indicator that you're jealous of somebody is when you're constantly questioning their motives. You can't see their heart. You don't know why they did what they did. Boy, it's quiet in this Episcopalian church. A second indicator, and by the way, this is not something that's just outside the church. Find churches that speak well of other churches, and you'll have to look long and hard. You have to look long and hard. Mention the name Benny Tate's my pastor. You have to pucker a duck. Second indicator is you minimize their success. Look, what? Get back to the verse. I got to get back. What are you down here? Did you leave those few sheep? What a degrading, just a few sheep. A good indicator that you're jealous of somebody else is when you want to minimize their success. Well, he really didn't do that much. She really hadn't accomplished that much. It's really not that big a deal. No, but it's eating you out of the frame. It's tearing you up. You say, Pastor Ben, are you talking to me? If your phone's ringing, pick it up. You're rubbing the cat the wrong way. Well, turn the cat around. A third indicator that you're jealous of somebody is you make negative statements about them. Look what he said. Look what he said. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Good indicator you're jealous of somebody is when you make negative statements about him. I'm going to move to the last point. I'm done, folks. But this is all I'm going to say. Eliab, we read about him right here. It's the last you read about him in the Bible. Stick a fork in him, he's done. And what does that tell you? Jealousy will destroy you. Jealousy will destroy the good relationships you have in your life. Jealousy will eat your lunch. It's crueler than the grave. It will destroy your life. You got to let it go. But God continued to use this man David. But Eliab, gone. He was gone. Okay. Number four. A Grinch, and I'm done, needs a heart change. A Grinch needs a heart change. Now, here's what happens. Max and the Grinch don't go down there the night before Christmas. Don't put up everything. It's going to be a little while. Max and the Grinch go down there the night before, and they get all the presents. Get all the presents. And the Grinch says to Max, boy, they're going to be unhappy now. All their presents are gone. And Christmas morning comes, and the Grinch looks down there. And what's going on down there? They start out sad, but there's a little girl named Cindy Lou Who. Yeah, Cindy Lou Who. And Cindy Lou Who says, this is not bad that all the presents are gone. Because Christmas is not about the presents anyway. Christmas is not about the presents anyway. Christmas is about what's in our hearts. Folks, it'd be a great day if we as Americans could realize Christmas is not about the presents. Christmas is about the birth of the precious Son of God. And all the presents are gone. And Cindy Lou Who gets them to start singing. And they're so happy and gay, and the Grinch looks down, and he says, my goodness. And by the way, let me tell you something, folks. This is all I'm going to say. When you're going through tough times, people are watching. Anybody can praise God when things are going good. Anybody, any old dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live one to swim against the current. Amen? It takes a live one to swim against the current. People are watching when you're going through hell. They're watching your attitude. They're watching how you respond. They're watching your anger. They're watching when you're going through hardships. Man, I never thought I'd get so excited preaching about the Grinch. The Grinch said, they're happy even though they've lost the gifts. There must be something different about them. And if you'll remember, the Grinch's heart was two sizes too small. And this is what happened.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day.
Hi, Mom. Don't stay inside. And I'm leaking. Oh, Max.
I love ya.
You know what's amazing, folks? The Grinch had a heart change. But right there's where the parallel ends. There's never an indicator in the Bible that Herod had a heart change. I researched him. He built Herod's temple. I researched him. He built the fortress at Masada that I've taken many of you to many, many times. He built and founded Caesarea by the Sea that I've taken many of you to many, many times. But there's no indicator that he ever had a heart change. You know, I thought about that old Grinch. After that Grinch had a heart change, he looked over at Max. He said, Max, we got to take those presents back. See, I talk to people all the time. And they say, Brother Benny, I'd give my life to God, but I can't quit this, and I can't quit that, and I can't quit this, and I can't quit that. It don't start with any of that, folks. It starts with a heart change. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And when we get the heart right, over a period of time, things start changing. That's where the parallel ends. The Grinch had a heart change, but Herod never did. Here's what I want to say to you folks. I pray this Christmas that you're not a Grinch. We don't want to live in the past. We don't want to pretend to be something we're not. We don't want to be jealous of others' success. We want to make sure this Christmas we got a heart change. You know, I watched this movie and I thought, that old Grinch never would have changed had not a little girl named Cindy Lou Who kept loving him. Folks, you've probably got some Grinches in your life. But I'll promise you, every Grinch needs a Cindy Lou Who. Every Grinch needs somebody to love them. Every Grinch needs somebody to care about them. Every Grinch needs somebody to reach out to.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.